Good evening. Tonight's special guest is Yvonne Brewer. Yvonne hails from Cork, Ireland, and has received much acclaim for her poetic works. So without further ado, I give you Yvonne Brewer.
Good evening, Dr. Michael Anthony Ingram. Thank you for inviting me to share my poetry with you all on your show this evening. I am Yvonne Brewer, speaking to you from Middleton, County Cork, Ireland. I am going to share some of my poems and my thoughts on poetry with you. First, I have some questions that Michael asked me to reflect on. But let me tell you something I've learnt about Michael Anthony Ingram. He is a really kind and sweet man. But behind all that sweetness is someone who gets pleasure from asking really difficult questions to emerging writers like me. But I will do my best, Michael, to answer them. So let's begin with the first question. Why do you write poetry? Why do I write poetry? Well, writing poetry was never a choice that I made. I never once said, I want to be a writer or I want to be a poet. In a strange way, I feel that poetry chose me, if that makes sense. Things seem to eat away at me until I write a poem. They keep me awake at night, or sometimes I have to stop the car or stop cooking, stop conversations. As I said, it's not a choice. I have to write, or else I'm just tortured. But when I surrender to the voice within, my muse, my inner poetess, whatever you like to call it, then the words just flow and I am no longer captive. I am free. So maybe, Michael, that's the answer. One of the reasons I write is so that I can be free. And in a funny way, I feel that I do not write poetry. Poetry writes me. Things that move me emotionally or spiritually tend to be the type of topics I am inspired to write about. My poetry falls in a few different categories, and the poems that I want to share with you tonight are based on the themes of nature, motherhood, and in recent times, the sorrows and losses of Ireland's past have become the subject of my writing, and that's a subject that I plan to write more about in my next book. Now, I think it's only appropriate that the first poems I share with you this evening have an Irish-American connection. My first poem was written about a woman called Helen Phillips, who left County Mayo, Ireland, in the early 1900s for America, and she never returned. Her granddaughter, Linda Dunn, told me about her life and her life story, and this inspired me to write the poem called Éile Bán. Two Irish Gaelic words that means white swan. So here is my first poem for you tonight, Éile Bán. I saw a white swan swimming alone in an emerald green lake in County Mayo. She sang a sweet song, Éile Bán. Her sound filled the air with gold. And I thought of you, brave Helen, and how you too swam alone, as you elegantly held your head so high, sailing away heavy with echoes of goodbye. You followed your heart, you let your spirit dance. Love flowed, you honoured the chance. shining a light so bright, spreading your wings so white. You flew, you soared, creating a new nest, until your name, Helen, was whispered, "Come now and rest." You left many white feathers behind, and your loved ones gathered them all to hold very close so they still feel your soul, keeping your memory alive. And with wings that will never be tied, your spirit still flies and flies. And today, an Irish arm wears magical gems, filled with your love and flowing your joy, wiping away all the tears of your last goodbye, shining the soul of Éile Bonn, sparkling her heart light, whispering, "Welcome home," filling Éire again like pots of gold. The poem reflects a theme that is a huge part of our Irish past and present, where millions of Irish people have emigrated, many not by choice, and made new lives for themselves in countries such as America. We still have such a very strong bond with countries like America because of this, as so many of our ancestors settled in faraway places. But I often ask myself, did they really settle? Did their souls settle? Did they always carry that longing to return home? I think so. Another poem on the subject of emigration that I'd like to read for you is called The Bowl of Shamrock. The Bowl of Shamrock. A day for remembering those who left our shores, those who carried loss and heartbreak to other lands, those who built new worlds with hopeful hands, those who never left their green island, always stayed at home. The many branches that have grown from one small goddess tree, those who sailed on boats to be free, the battles won or lost, inside and out. Our ancestors and our roots, the buried ivy lies, the bitter shamrock truths. I have always felt a special connection to St. Bridget, who is an Irish goddess and saint, and I like to think that all Irish people, wherever they are in the world, are guided by her eternal flame. Here is a poem I dedicate to Bridget called Her Flame. Her Flame. In honour of Bridget, saint and goddess. It started out as a little spark. You hardly saw it as you were hiding in your dark. But you asked for my help and gave the little spark to me. And now, look what you hold so brightly, shining for the world to see. O I, St. Bridget, find the light on the blackest of night. I guide your heart to hold on tight for one more day, to know and to see your tiny seed will soon be growing strong, and that you belong where words float and sail, where music twists and turns, where firesides crackle and sing. Look, creation has begun. Darkness of winter will pass, and on spring's first day, your heart will wear a new dress. Your soul will wear shiny new shoes. You will dance and skip and jump and reach to the top of Bridget's bright light, O blessed healing flame. In awe you watch it, burning, strong, high, nurturing, believing, calling your name. How has your idea of what poetry is and what poetry can do changed since I began writing poetry? Now, that is such a good question, Michael Anthony Ingram, but I really wish you had asked someone else. No, on a serious note, I do not think my idea of what poetry is has changed very much, actually, since I began writing poetry. I always believed that poetry is like a door. It's an opening to spiritual places or our emotions. It helps us find joy or freedom. It can be a door that leads us to understanding and awareness. Poetry is like a door that we choose to open or close when we want to. I also see it as a door that can lead us into dark caves or dark rooms, representing our past, our family's past, our country's past, in order to return to those souls who may have been forgotten. And they need us to touch their souls with our presence so they can finally find peace. So poetry can also be a door that is a mirror, as it reflects back ourselves and our past. I think I always believed all these things about poetry, and writing poetry hasn't changed my views, but maybe it's just made me feel these thoughts even deeper. But I believe what has changed for me is my idea of what poetry can do. I now see myself as creating and presenting doors for others so that they can enter all these places too. This has been an uplifting experience, but a challenging one as well. It has made me experience more of what poetry can do. It always moves me when someone contacts me to say that something I wrote has helped them or made them happy or helped them reflect on their past, or that they share the same views or whatever. Writing poetry has helped me realise the power of words. Poetry can do so much. It unites people, it guides people, it calls us to respond. It touches us emotionally and spiritually. Writing poetry has helped me understand how powerful poetry can be on so many levels. To help illustrate these ideas, I'm going to share with you a few poems that a lot of people responded positively to after reading them. The first one, it's a sad poem. It's a poem that I wrote about a mother in a mother and baby's home in Ireland when I heard a woman speaking on a radio programme one day. I was really overwhelmed by the stories that I received from women after this poem was published a few years ago. And having two children, two sons myself, I cannot even think of the pain and suffering these women endured. This poem is for all who can relate to this kind of suffering. It's called "The Child That She Could Not Bring Home." They ripped you from my teenage womb in a dark, loveless room. They dragged you from my helpless arms, but not from my broken heart. Stole my child, but didn't steal memories that would tear a soul apart. The spring morning that they took you, I sat on a white, cold bed, and I thought, I am a ghost mother now, walking like the dead. This bed is like my grave. And I stared at my little child's future that I had no power to save. The spring morning that they took you, I was so empty, except for a heart filled with sorrows, heavy with grief for all the black tomorrows. So I gave you all I had that day, a heart of sweet golden tears, that I quietly wept as you soundly slept, unaware of your mother's fears. One tear for every moment and every year that I would not be there, when you cried or when you smiled, or wondered, did she ever care? How I blessed you with my tears of hope and gold, and begged that somehow your little soul would remember the young girl who sat all alone that spring morning in that dark, loveless room, crying for you, the child that she could not bring home. Meet Me is a poem I wrote when a friend shared a lovely picture of what looked like a wedding altar by a lake. And this also has been a popular poem of mine that got a lot of response, including people who contacted me to say that they were reading it on their wedding day. The poem is called Meet Me. Meet me at the edge of the world, where earth merges with water, where green trees hang easily, staring at their reflections in still fairy mirrors, as they hold a space for lovers like us to hold hands, to hold hearts, to hold on. And they drop their favourite leaves like pebbles into the lake, to celebrate the loving promises we will make, as my flower painted hand you take forever. The Pigeons Knew is a poem I wrote when my oldest son, who is now 15, was a toddler. The pigeons knew. Cloud carriages, she thought. Then he pointed. Look, Mum, cloud pigs. They sat under the shady sycamore, hair dotted with twigs, feathers falling, fairy voices calling, butterflies circling her little boy's hair. Magic everywhere. Only seen by a few. The trees, the wind, and the pigeons knew. Does knowing that your poems are published and out there in the world validate your being a poet? Or are you content knowing they're out of your system? No, Michael, I don't write or try to publish in order to seek validation. I don't even write poetry to be a poet. The last thing I am thinking of when I'm writing is that I'm actually writing a poem or being a poet. I write it as it's part of me that demands to be seen and shared, and because I just have to do it. I don't choose to do it at all. So yes, I'm satisfied to have poems published so it gets them out of my system. As I said earlier, it helps me to be free. It's a liberating experience. For me, it has nothing to do about being a poet or getting published. The process of writing, rather than the project, such as publishing a book, is what is the most meaningful to me. What advice would I give to an aspiring poet? Well, that's interesting because I still see myself as an aspiring poet. I'm very much at the beginning of my poetry journey. But the only advice I would give to anyone interested in writing is, firstly, listen to yourself. And secondly, write. And then look at what you've written and listen to what that piece you just wrote says to you, and write some more. And then just keep repeating that cycle. Because for me, listening is as important as writing. I think writers have to be very good listeners. Listen to your heart. Listen to the messages in the world around you. And most important of all, write for you. And love what you write. And be grateful for the words that present themselves to you. And the last question that Michael has asked me is, do you think you were meant to be a poet? Well, one of the things that I do is that I write poetry from time to time. It's probably only a tiny part of who I am. I see myself as a mother, a carer, a teacher, a lover of life, who writes from time to time. And I am meant to be all those things. So yes, I do believe that I am meant to write poetry. I don't know if I am meant to be a poet, but I do know that poetry helps me to find meaning. It helps me to explore who and what I am meant to be. And though I am 46 years old, I am not finished trying to find out who or what I am meant to be. I'm going to finish now by reading a selection of poems, about 5 or 6 short poems, and they combine themes of nature, love, magic, and dreams. I hope that you enjoy listening to them. Spring sends love letters to summer. Spring sends love letters to summer, written in ink of green. A love affair, blossoming, secret, nocturnal awakenings. Sunrises, unwrapping nakedness in orange and gold. Sunsets, hiding moonlit secrets only bats and owls can be told. Love, bursting buds, sensual smells of fairy bluebells, ring out to the lovers to come lie here in beds of purple, under shady oaks, where time stops and the earth's lovemaking is camouflaged by birdsong and frog croaks. Spring wraps her thighs around summer, letting bog heat and garden juices flow, and longer nights by cool water banks as the river bends shyly as if not to know. Dragonfly Fairy. That morning, she felt a warmth in the breeze that was not there before. It made her heart beat to the rhythm of more. The little wren's song was sharper. The sycamore shone a brighter green only awakened eyes had ever seen. The pigeons cooed, the bees hummed. In an old cottage garden, or was it a secret treasured world? And they danced to the left of her, and they danced to the right. She heard them buzzing past her, so magical, so light. Her eyes followed the dragonfly pair, who flew higher and higher without a thought or a care. As they danced, she felt the earth under her spin. And then she saw her, with her bright eyes and shining soul, warm heart and healing hands. And the dragonflies, they danced, they danced. In a slice of ice. In a slice of ice, I saw her face, standing tall in a river bed, feather-like sword under her head of flowing red hair. Muddy footprints broke her bones, quashed the truth of her heroism, her strength. The men she murdered, the women she saved from brutal lives, with a slash of a sharpened feather as they slayed with rusty knives. Her memory forever frozen, captured by a rabbit shaman, waiting for a library to open as he explored the stories written with icicle fingers on flowing waters that wait for nature to pause and open its book of no words and iced pages, holding sacred tales of hidden swords, buried goddess warriors, and forgotten sages. Piano fingers. I never played the piano, but I let my fingers lead me to tender spaces, darkness hiding faces, unsung lines carried by owl and bat under indigo skies, choking lyrics you swear are midnight lies. And so you convinced me to never study music, as my feet could not dance, until you saw me in a dream playing a glass piano, and my eyes trapped you in a sweet sounding trance. No, Cinderella. Are you sorry for all the chimes you did not hear? Passing time, faces disappear. Did the hands of time reverse as no shoe in your box would fit? Rotten wine, she laughed. A broken bottle, one heart halved. This is the mantra of the last day. Left holding all the words he did not say. There is no midnight ending. The big hand quivers to 10. Glass slippers on the feet of masked men. I see faces. For as long as I've known myself, I see faces in strange places. Clouds, stones, ceilings, hands, feet, shadows, rain, grass, stars, waves, eyes, sand. Today, I saw your face in a fallen tree. As always, it didn't see me. A hanging string. Sometimes it takes a rainy Sunday night of lonesome meandering through overplowed fields to inscribe the real cries of the only path a heart wants to exhale. So he lifts his pen and writes the same words to her, praying they are not too stale before Monday rises with a damp sting, a smoky breath, and an overcoat with a hanging string. Thank you again to Dr. Michael Anthony Ingram for inviting me to speak to you and read my poetry to you all tonight. Thank you for being here and listening. Garibh míle vágibh íhéwá slán agus beannacht.
I'd like to thank you, Yvonne, for answering the questions in a very thoughtful manner. I'd also like to thank Yvonne for sharing her beautiful, beautiful work. If you'd like to be a guest on Quintessential Listening Poetry, please contact me at maingram@gmx.com. Thank you and good night.